O Lord God, as we enter your presence for worship today during this season of Lent, send your Holy Spirit upon us to guide and direct our hearts. Lead us humbly to confess our sins, joyfully to believe your promise of forgiveness, attentively to listen to your instruction, and confidently to lay before you our every prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name, our precious Savior and Lord. Amen. invite you to rise. Let us begin our midweek Lenten service. Worship in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Continue with the passion history of our Savior Jesus according to the four Gospels. Our reading tonight, reading 3, takes us to Jesus' trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin. And this follows immediately upon the episode we heard of last Wednesday of Peter's denial and repentance. Now Annas had sent him, that is Christ, still bound to Caiaphas the high priest. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus had said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is that any way to answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I have said something wrong," Jesus replied, "speak up about it. But if I spoke the truth, why did you hit me?" The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Finally, two came forward and declared, "We heard him say, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another not made by man.' Yet even then their testimony did not agree." And the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "I am," Jesus said. "It is as you say. But I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" The men who were guarding Jesus began to mock and to beat him and to say many other insulting things to him. Very early in the morning, at daybreak, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying I am." And they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." The whole assembly rose. They bound Jesus and led him from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor and handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Here ends the Passion history. You know, join in the confession of faith for these Lenten services. We're using portion from the Small Cold Articles, one of our Lutheran confessions, Article 13. Let us read together. What we teach about justification is this: through faith, we have a new and clean heart, and God will and does account us entirely righteous and holy for the sake of Christ, our mediator. Although sin in the flesh has not yet been completely removed or become dead, yet he will not punish or remember it. Such faith, renewal, and forgiveness of sins are followed by good works. What is still sinful or imperfect in our works will not be counted as sin or defect for Christ's sake. The entire individual, both our person and our works, is declared to be righteous and holy from pure grace and mercy shed upon us and spread over us in Christ. Therefore, we cannot boast of many merits and works if they are viewed apart from grace and mercy. As it is written, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord," namely, that we have a gracious God, for with that all is well. This is most certainly true. Sing the next hymn. Grace and peace of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Lamb of God, abide with you all. Our text for consideration, this our third midweek Lenten service, is recorded in Luke 22, 21, and 22. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. So far our text. Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior, God's holy Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, dear friends, tonight we're continuing our series of services devoted to Jesus' passion, which will span, as is our custom, the 6 weeks of Lent. We might ask the question, what is the purpose of these services that we have every Lenten season? Why devote time and attention to stories we know well and that we've probably heard many, many times? My living room at the parsonage, I have a 2-foot by 4-foot picture hanging on the wall with the title Golden Days placarded on the bottom of the frame. It depicts a girl riding on a horse trailed by a little black dog, galloping through the woods across a wooden bridge during the peak leaf color days of autumn. You know the kind, the tree leaves bursting with shades of vivid gold, red, and orange. When I first came by this picture some 30 years ago, the tree leaf colors were bright hues of red, orange, and gold. But with the passing of time, they've faded. Every once in a while, I like to get out a photo I snapped of it many years ago and remind myself of its original beauty. Back to the question of the purpose of these services, we include them on our calendar, don't we, because they serve to help bring into sharper focus for us the golden truth of Christ crucified, which can fade a bit on the canvas of our heart. Isn't it true that, as we sing in a hymn, life's riches, cares, and pleasures can efface the image of Jesus crucified for me, diminishing its beauty over time so that we don't necessarily appreciate it as we might and draw the comfort from it that our God would have us draw? So our prayer is that the image of our suffering Savior in these special services each year may refresh that image of our suffering Savior, and that the Holy Spirit would use these services to heighten our appreciation for the love of God as revealed to us in Jesus. This year's theme, as you probably note, scriptures were fulfilled in each of these services. We are taking note of something very remarkable, how all the woes that befell Jesus along the path of his passion by which he procured our soul's salvation happened just as had been foretold centuries earlier. And tonight we're going to see how this is also true with respect to Jesus' betrayal by Judas. At the time of our text, Jesus is gathered with his disciples in the upper room for the annual Passover celebration, which typically for the Jewish people was a very happy occasion, when they were reminded of God's grace in rescuing their forefathers from Egyptian slavery. This, however, was to be a different kind of a Passover celebration, for there had settled down over the disciples' hearts a profound sense of sadness because Jesus had just told them, "Little children, I shall be with you just a little while longer. You'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you." And then he floored them with the shocking statement in our text, "Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined." Something we want to especially note is how when Jesus spoke these words, he was letting his disciples know and letting us know, who read these words many years later, that all the sufferings that he experienced for us had indeed been prophesied in advance many, many different times. Six at least. For example, in the foot washing episode earlier that night, you'll recall, when after Peter's initial refusal to let Jesus wash him, he finally allowed it, saying, "No, not just my feet, but my hands and my head." And when Jesus had told the whole group, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet and is completely clean," Jesus said, "You are clean, but not all of you." And he then quoted a psalm of David written 1,000 years earlier, Psalm 41, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture," in Psalm 41, "may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." And that same David had foretold Jesus' betrayal by Judas in Psalm 55, where David wrote, again, 1,000 years before, "It is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him, but it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance." You'll also recall how when Jesus later that night prayed his high priestly prayer, one of the petitions that he offered was John 17:11-12, "Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." And still another prophecy fulfilled when Judas committed his act of treachery is recorded in Zechariah the prophet, 500 years before, where it is predicted the exact amount that Judas would be paid for selling out Jesus. Zechariah 11, verse 12, "They weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver." You know that if it had been 25 pieces, or 35, or one less, or one more, we would have reason to doubt the scripture's reliability and that they were truly fulfilled in Christ. But just because the agreed on amount was 30 coins exactly as prophesied, we know most assuredly the golden truth: Jesus is our true Messiah, the exact Messiah that we needed, who redeemed us, as you know, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. It's also note, friends, how the Bible scriptures were fulfilled with respect to the consequence of Judas' traitorous act. We read here in our text the Lord's statement, "Truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." The Lord, of course, was foretelling here what the terrible consequence of Judas' act of betrayal would be, that he would lose his life forever in hell. Not that his act was so serious that it was unforgivable. This is one of the golden truths, takeaways from this text, that there's no sin so heinous or grievous that it cannot be washed clean away by the blood of Jesus. It's as we sing in a golden Lenten hymn, There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose how many guilty stains? All. The dying thief, vile character, rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. But sadly, in the case of Judas, he didn't think Jesus could forgive him. When the despicableness of his act of betrayal dawned on him, and when he brought the money back to the priests, confessing, "I sinned by betraying innocent blood," when they told him, "What's that to us? You see to it." He then hurled the coins out of the temple floor in despair, tragically went out, and hanged himself, which also was a fulfillment of Scripture. Luke, remember the story in Acts chapter 1, records Peter's words in the days leading up to Pentecost when the disciples were gathered to pick somebody to replace Judas, who had killed himself. Peter referred to Judas' act of betrayal. "Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office," which is a prophecy of David in another psalm, Psalm 109, which was fulfilled when Matthias was elected to take the place vacated by Judas. And there was still one other consequence of Judas' betrayal foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. We're told in the Passion History, as you will recall, that the priests picked up the money that Judas tossed down on the floor, and they said, "It's not lawful to put them into the treasury because they're the price of blood." And then they held a meeting and passed a resolution to buy from a potter a field to bury strangers in. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet 700 years earlier, saying, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Friends, why is all this important? You know, quoting all these Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled, particularly in the episode of Judas' betrayal, foretold in the Old Testament many, many times. All this is to underscore that everything happened in connection with Jesus' passion, not by accident. They were all done under God's directing for a golden purpose, so that they might serve for the strengthening of our faith, and that we might know that Jesus was betrayed into the hand of sinners for us. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing so that we might have life in his name. May this account of the betrayal of Jesus by Judas also serve as an admonition and a warning for us, we who are friends of Jesus today. We want to keep in mind that every instance of letting the world's cares and pleasures take top spot in our hearts over Jesus is really a betrayal of our Savior. In Judas' betrayal, we should recognize the possibility of, God forbid, our abandoning the Lord in unbelief, and that there, but for the grace of God, go I. Which highlights the importance of praying. "Jesus, grant that balm and healing of in thy holy wounds I find. Every hour that I'm feeling pains of body and of mind, should some evil thought within tempt my treacherous heart to sin, show the peril, and from sinning keep me ere its first beginning." And when the seriousness of our transgressions against the Lord's Ten Commandments dawns on us, when it hits home, that we not lose heart or think he could not forgive us, but to say with David, who also was guilty of some bad blunders, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Yes, let us draw comfort from the golden truth that everything that transpired in connection with Christ's passion was fulfilled as prophesied perfectly so that he might fill our hearts with the golden assurance that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. You may remain seated as we sing the hymn 767, Jesus Remember Me, and please note that we'll be singing it through 2 times.
Just remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Let us pray. Blessed Redeemer Jesus Christ, we know that the trials, sufferings, humiliation, and bitter agony and death you endured were all for us. You consented to carry our burden of sins in your own body and to feel the terrible weight of their guilt upon your conscience. Yes, you even consented to sacrifice yourself for our sins to make amends with God in our behalf. Our hearts are saddened when we think upon our many sins, but they're filled with rejoicing when we think upon your cross, knowing that it is the altar upon which you secured our redemption. How greatly we're blessed. For though we've sinned against God in countless ways and times without number, yet your suffering and death have opened to us the door to eternal life. How loving a shepherd you are to give your life for the sheep. Yes, for lost, straying sheep like us. Precious Savior, give us grace ever to remember in true faith and with contrite hearts what you in love have done for us. Give us also willingness and strength to follow you on faith's journey, even through heartbreak and suffering, to eternal joy. Be with us in every temptation, helping us overcome, so that we may glorify you with a godly life and a steadfast faith. Keep us at all times from false security and from becoming careless and indifferent in things spiritual. Help us overcome the weaknesses, fears, and the sinful desires of our flesh. Grant that our spirits may ever be filled with watchfulness and prayer. O, forgive all our sins, for you suffered and died for them. Through your merit and intercession, move our Father in heaven to give us all the things that we need. We bless your precious name. Amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May be seated for our closing hymn.